Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One. This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. Get it on. Welcome, Reasonable Doubt. Mark Garagus in studio.
In studio, loving it. You know, you texted me last night with one of the great questions of modern civilization, or at least a post-Ottoman genocide.
It's been vexing man, modern man.
Right. First of all, let's start with your son, Sonny, who I love, and I've complimented you before. So far, so good. You've created or raised quite a young man. He looks mm-hmm. you in the eye, which I always mm-hmm. find to be unusual mm-hmm. for that age. And he kind of bombs in for the Armo Club.
Mm-hmm. First things first, you know, he observes. He's a keen observer.
Right.
I met him at a Mexican food restaurant place in our neighborhood
right.
last night. He was at the YMCA, so he said, I'll meet you over there. I got a booth. I was sitting there waiting for him, and he walked in, and he stopped, and he looked at me, and he said, you're sitting on the wrong side of the booth. You normally sit on the other side of the booth. And I'm like, I am. I'm left-handed, and I hang my arm out into the open air. And then he said, but you sat on this side of the booth this time because it faces the door, and you wanted to see me coming.
Ooh,
and I said, wow. Yes, all those things are correct, and I didn't even think about that. But he's a keen observer.
He is a keen observer of the human condition. I think the Turkish expression is göz açık, eyes open.
Eyes open. So he was explaining that he was not officially in the Armenian club at the school, but he'd sort of ingratiated himself because one of the Armo kids, I guess dad owns the pizzeria.
Right.
And he brings over some pies. And
Stella's, which is Bob.
No, he said it wasn't Stella's.
It wasn't Stella's.
He said it was another place further down toward Honolulu.
Wow.
But I don't know. But he said they made a good pie. So he said he wanted in on it. So he wandered in the Armenian club, and he ingratiated himself. And then, you know, he gave an answer that you would like.
Yeah.
Somebody said to him, Carolla. That's not an Armenian name. And he said, my mom's Armenian.
I thought he was going to say it's short for Carolian.
No, he kept it with that.
He kept with the mother, right?
And then he said, then there's one of his friends over there in the Armo Club named Ara.
A-R-A.
Yeah. And right. I said, Ara. And he said, yeah, it's his name. It's a strange name. And I said, like Ara Parsegian?
Right.
And he said, who? And I said, you say you like football, boy? And he said, I don't know who Ara Parsegian
is. Maybe the
is.
Single greatest college football coach before there was the Bama head hire. But Ara Parsegian was
or
the
Ara.
Guy.
Well, I don't know. Because
Ara was from a different era.
Oh, Ara. Oh, wow. Yeah. So I said, now look, there was a coach for Notre Dame. In my mind, he was there for 20 years because I was a kid. He
right.
was there for like 7 or 8 years. But in my mind, he was called Ara Parsegian.
Right.
And then I had him look it up. Then I said, look, he spells it the same way. Your friend goes by Ara. This guy goes by Ara. Or at least Chris Economaki would call him Ara.
So there's a difference between the shish kebab Armenian, which would be Parsegian, and also Jerry Tarkanian in my kind of lineage, because we're second, third generation here. And that's why I say we call ourselves shish kebabs. And then the ones who come over, because Ara is a very familiar or common, I should say, name. Ara. Mm-hmm. I mean, the number of Aras I know is unbelievable.
So did Ara Parsegian call himself Ara?
I would
Ara?
Say that he would call himself Ara. However, that generation, I mean, you had Chuck Asegian, who was kind of a legendary baseball player. You had Ara, you had Jerry Tarkanian. They assimilated uh-huh. to a degree. Always remembered their Armenian roots and were very proud. But they did assimilate a little bit, and they would kind of accept the Odar bastardization pronunciation.
So I sent Mark a text because I need to know whether it was Ara or Era.
It's Ara.
It's Ara. Yeah. All right. That's all.
And Sonny's the token Odar.
Yes, at the pizza party with the Armos.
With the Armos.
So now what's going on in the legal world?
Well, there's so much here. A story going under the radar, probably because it's getting trampled by Heard and Johnny Depp, who, by the way, my wife, Paulette, could not be more Team Depp. I mean, she must troll the internet for articles about Amber and just sends me texts, bitch, ho. I mean, it's like, it's really, you know why?
Because when a guy, like when a guy hears about another guy engaging in dubious behavior, you know what I mean? Like you go, this guy, his wife was 8 months pregnant, and he left her, and he took off with the nanny. Guys are more pragmatic. We're like, let me see a picture of the nanny.
Right.
Let's not judge.
Like she was 8 months pregnant, you know, big bang bong. You know?
She looks like Tiger Woods' wife who was a nanny. We make room for that. Women, they go, I can't believe it. She's a bitch. I can't. It's weird. It's as if they represent all of women. And when you do this, you make us look bad.
I used to say during Peterson, the fact when they would juxtapose Lacey's picture, 8 months pregnant at a Christmas party alone, sitting in a chair next to Scott with Amber, the Fresno massage therapist, case over. I mean, that is an archetype. If you believe in speaking of Sonny and observers of the human condition, that's awfully tough to overcome.
Right. So women are much more critical of the behavior of other women, and men don't seem to judge or get their jeweler's loop out and look at it through such a fine prism.
I also thought about you on another, you know, what I call Corolla's commandments. Another Corolla commandment. On a Me Too style, because this is kind of it, at least when it started, there was kind of a Me Too veneer to this. You may not remember this, but during Weinstein, you used to always say the look that of the guy that you would say if the guy looks disgusting or doesn't look like he's attractive, the people will pile on. There'll be a piling on. But if he looks, I forget who you used as an example, but you used to say you don't see a lot of people outing this particular movie star because he's very attractive and has a following.
Yeah, some of it is being attractive, and then another part is just this weird sort of je ne sais quoi that like humans responding in a kind of animalistic way to whatever is given off with the eyes. Sometimes it's posture. Sometimes it's cadence. You know, there's a bunch of stuff floating around that we don't really know we're imbibing. But you do know when someone is lying or, you know, you got a feeling, you don't trust that person or whatever that is. And when, you know, a guy looks like Lou Pearlman, who was the manager and, you know, molested the boy bands, or Weinstein, you go, oh, come on, look at that guy. Now, a lot of it is training, and then a lot of it is a societal training. You know, Disney gets us started on this shit when we're four. You know what I mean? Look at that guy. You can trust that guy. And look at the guy with the big hook nose. That guy's evil. You know, look at him. And his cat is mangy. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I'll give you an example out of Heard and Depp. Gary, do you have a picture of the or a video of the expert from yesterday?
Yeah, we have a video we'll play now. There's no sound, but for those on YouTube, you can get the full experience.
And in a weird way, you saw it in full display with Trump and Obama.
Right.
People looked at Obama and went, look at that guy. He's regal. I mean, I believe him. I'd like to have a beer with him. Look at that guy. And then you go, oh, here comes Trump. Look at him in those golf pants. Come on, man. You don't need another cheeseburger. Look at you, man. Like, we are that way.
I'm very judgy. Very judgy. Sorry. And then this guy, Gary, this guy just got ransacked on the internet.
Right.
In there. I've called witnesses like this before.
Because it's sort of idiosyncratic and sort of ticky.
Do I have to answer that question, Your Honor?
You have to answer questions. Yes, sir.
Is that how this works? Now, that guy seems like he's on the spectrum, as many people say about me.
Well, there's there is something about expert witnesses. I mean, people.
What was this guy?
I forget what his title was.
Very Asperger, right?
I believe he was her psychologist, but let me check and make sure it wasn't a different. Sometimes I get that mixed up with psychiatrist or something.
Yeah, he was. Mm-hmm. He was an expert, and he kind of, I mean, by all accounts, imploded. I've been there. I've put guys on who have imploded. I've also cross-examined guys who imploded. It's one of the reasons that I just I have so much disdain for experts, and I think jurors do as well. I don't think jurors invest as much into experts as people think they do.
Well, there's also guys who are in fact experts, but they can't get the horsepower back to the rear tires. You know what I mean? Like
the torque.
My stepdad worked at Skunk Works at Lockheed for 40 years. He would be an expert on military grade electronic engineering, but if you put him up on the stand, he'd fall apart. He'd start mumbling and bumbling and screwing stuff up, and he'd get screwed up, and you'd go, oh, that guy doesn't know shit. But he is an expert. He just can't deliver it. Conversely, there are guys that don't really know jack squat about anything that are really composed and really smooth and know how to handle things, and you would think differently of them.
It's so true. I had a trial, a murder case many years ago in the South Bay, and the prosecution had hired a guy who, by all accounts, you know, was straight from central casting. Just looked good, everything else. But when you started breaking it down, he really didn't know what he was talking about. And it became apparent. The jurors started laughing at him after about a half hour. But he had been able to kind of skate below the radar in terms of his effectiveness, because I think to some degree a lot of people were intimidated by the credentials, the bona fides, his CV.
Dr. David Spiegel is her psychiatrist, and he looked much more like a psychiatrist than a psychologist. Just if there's a look, he had that look. So he came undone. Where are we with this trial?
Well, now the big thing is, who is it? They're calling an actress in rebuttal. Johnny Depp is. You might remember that there was kind of a aha moment on Depp's lawyer's side when Heard mentioned, who was it, Kate Moss, Gary?
Somebody like that.
I believe
that.
It was, yeah.
And now they're calling Kate Moss. So apparently they think or they know that Kate Moss is going to say something that is going to be devastating. Interestingly.
To Johnny Depp.
Yeah. I mean, the Heard had said Kate Moss something about stairs, and that was going to – and the defense or the – not the defense, but the lawyers on that side looked like they were the cat that just caught the canary.
It kind of went viral. They were like doing like the fist pump, like the Tiger Woods thing, like openly in court. Like one turned around, looked at the other one, was like, there it was.
When yeah. Kate Moss
was brought up, because brought Amber Heard brought it up, thus opening the door for them to be able to call her.
Oh, Gary okay. gets the evidentiary on rebuttal, because this is going to be the rebuttal case.
Wait, so Johnny wants Kate Moss.
Yeah, so Johnny's lawyers clearly wanted her to say that name, and they had been crafting their questions to try to get her to say that name. And then she said it, and they weren't even hiding it. They turned around and fist-pumped it.
Because she's going to come up there, and she's going to say, we're together for 7 years. He's a complete gentleman.
Correct.
Right.
Exactly. Presumably. But be careful what you wish for. Once again, you never know.
So, right.
I mean, you know, the one that has not been bandied about that much, Ellen Barkin, I thought was a devastating witness to Johnny Depp.
What did she say?
She was saying that he was controlling, that he had he'd accused her of all kinds of things. She had a scratch on her back that he went wild over, blah, blah,
threw a wine bottle at her.
Yeah. Yeah. There were certain things that tended to resonate with Amber and are supportive of Amber, but because that didn't fit the narrative that the Team Depp likes, and Team Depp clearly is controlling the internet right now. I mean, there's no question about it that did not get a whole lot of play.
When is this thing wrapping, and how does it go on in perpetuity? And who's – I know you talked about insurance.
Oh, yeah.
Her like homeowner's insurance?
The only thing that makes any sense to me is that that there's these are insurance defense lawyers who are representing her in this case.
There's no other economic explanation.
None.
That's possible.
None.
Because this is costing how much?
Oh, I mean, you could be burning $500,000 a week in legal fees alone before you even get to costs. Easy.
So each every 2 weeks, $1 million, and then there's costs.
Yeah.
What about the Durham trial?
Well, I will end with Durham because I wanted another one that I thought. And by the way, it's interesting, and I want to. I was going to text Sean Hannity because I watched it, and he was talking about he's the only place that's talking about Durham, and I said, "Hello, what do you mean you're the only place talking about Durham?" Durham to me is fascinating. I mean, I don't care if you're which side of the aisle you're on. It's a fascinating trial. And by the way, even though you try to handicap that trial in terms of the jurors, and you know, I know that the people on the right are saying there's no way you get a conviction based on this jury. And you and I went through a number of the jurors with Gary, and those are. Traditionally, jurors that you would want if you're the defense. However, I think people underestimate what a daunting task federal criminal defense is. Federal criminal defense, so that people understand, they get probably pleas in 98% of all cases. So people are so – they don't even exercise their right to a trial, jury or bench or otherwise – and even in that remaining 1% to 2%, the number of trials where somebody is acquitted is a fraction there as well. I mean, it is – I know lawyers, extremely good lawyers, who have tried federal cases over the years who've never heard the words not guilty in a federal courtroom in a criminal case. It's – you know, they have all the resources. They have all the advantages. They've got the best and the brightest prosecuting. So – people who say, well, this can't be won by Durham, you know, you underestimate the advantage that the government, when they stand up and say, we're the government that they have. That being said, in this case, the defense has got some pretty good arguments, and contrary also to what I keep seeing, their arguments are, is this material? Did he lie about whether or not Durham, did he lie about whether or not he was working for a client? I'll tell you a good piece of evidence for the government.
The attorney.
Billing records.
You're talking about, did the attorney lie?
Did Durham is prosecuting
Sussman,
who is Mark Elias's partner.
Right.
One-time partner. And for supposedly going to the FBI general counsel and saying,
not on behalf of any client, but right. As a concerned citizen, here are these documents. And then he billed the Clinton campaign for the meeting.
Right. And then there's this part. I heard somebody say this. Hillary Clinton was unaware of this. And somebody said, there's no way this stuff would have been done on her behalf without her being aware of it. It's right up there with Joe Biden saying, I never talk business with my son. I said, if your son ran a froyo shop in Altadena at Thanksgiving, you would talk a little business. You would go, any new flavor, son?
Do you have that Carbo Light? You want to know some stuff.
Yeah, but if your son is jetting off to Ukraine and China and Russia, and you're who you are in this government, you might discuss a little turkey with your son. So there's no – to me, Hillary Clinton knew. I mean, the thing that's interesting about the whole case is – I know people are sort of in a, who cares, water under the bridge. Most mainstream America and certainly most mainstream news organizations are like, what's in the past is in the past. But we did a 3-year witch hunt, which cost millions and millions of dollars based on this information that could have been illegally laundered through the FBI, and I want to know what the FBI is up to here. Sussman, I'm not that interested in that he worked for Hillary Clinton. They had a campaign. They were going to do a smear campaign. Fine. Done every election. What's the why is the FBI walking through this? Why didn't Mueller find any of this stuff? How did the Steele dossier get vetted and then pushed ahead and then vetted again? Like, how come no one at the FBI raised their hand?
I get really what would they like to have, and I've seen him in a couple of places, Bill Barr. I don't know why we can't get Bill Barr.
Have you
talked to him?
No, but I heard Bill, and I could reach out to Ben Shapiro. I heard Bill Barr do a sort of long-form sit-down with Shapiro, maybe on his Sunday special or what it was. Maybe it was a couple of weeks back, whatever. Bill Barr, whatever you think of him, is a thoughtful guy. And, you know, he'll say, you know, when Trump said to do this, I disagreed. I didn't think it was a good idea. And I think he made a mistake and he should have never done that. But Trump does that and he messes up, you know. And then he'll go, there's this other stuff. And you'll tend to listen to him because he's pretty even-handed. He'll say when he thought this was a mistake and he wasn't going to do that. And then he'll talk about other facets of his position and Trump and what was going on at the time. He's a pretty he's wrapped his head around the judicial system pretty good. He's not
well, I remember,
he's not a double talker.
By the way, I mean so many people that I know get so angry. I'll say it on the other side of this spot, but so angry at me for just talking about his career, his resume, and his and things of that nature, which just are it's almost as if they're you can't go too far this direction or too far that direction without raising everybody's ire. But you know what doesn't raise everybody's ire? Alto IRA. Have an account with Coinbase, own Bitcoin, Ethereum, or another cryptocurrency? It's an exciting investment opportunity. But what about taxes, huh, Adam? Mm. What about taxes? With an Alto crypto IRA. Got it, Eric, Gary? Good. Crypto, okay? You can trade crypto and avoid or defer the taxes. How good is that? Alto's crypto IRA is the easy way to get crypto into an IRA. Create an account in a couple of minutes. Invest with as little as $10, no setup charges. Secure trading 24/7 through the Alto's integration with Coinbase. 150 plus coins available, including Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Cardano. Multiple ways to fund your account, make a cash contribution, transfer cash from an existing IRA, or just do it the old-fashioned way. Roll over an old 401k. Right, Gary?
That's right. Ready to take your investment to the next level? Diversify like the pros and trade without tax headaches. Open an Alto crypto IRA with as little as $10. Just go to altoira.com/doubt. That's altoira.com/doubt. Start investing in cryptocurrency today. Go to altoira.com/doubt.
So what I was going to continue on with him is Bill Barr has a resume and he's got a career that whether you disagree with him, whether he's tainted in your mind or slimed by his association with Trump, he still is a substantial man who's had a substantial career.
He's very thoughtful. And like I said, if you hear him interviewed, he'll go – I mean, I'm assuming he's definitely Republican, but he'll tell you all sorts of things.
Yeah, he's the old school Republican.
Tell you all sorts of stuff he disagreed with Trump on and why he refused to do this or
when
that.
When you were on Bill Maher, did you talk or engage with Mark Esper?
A little bit at the end.
Oh,
during the roundtable.
To some degree, Esper, I mean, and he's another guy. He was Secretary of Defense. I think he also had – he was number three at DOD and famously got fired at one point, but now has written a book and is going on the rounds. And here's a guy with also a impeccable resume. I mean, he's kind of given his life to public service, was ransacked by my side of the aisle. At various points, but when you actually hear him out and talk and kind of hear what he's got to say and hear him answer questions. He wouldn't answer certain questions of Mars, but at the same time, he's still – it's an impressive individual.
I think that's during the overtime segment of Real Time that's on YouTube. If anyone's looking for Adam interacting with him, that's overtime.
Yeah. It's amazing. Now, I'm going to segue into a trial that apparently has – flown under the radar and brought to my attention by there's a new news outlet called Puck. Have you seen Puck?
Mm-mm.
So Eric Gardner, who is kind of longtime legal writer here locally, in LA, kind of on the Hollywood circuit, is now at Puck and has always been a very thoughtful, very incisive, gets it. Is one of the few guys that I can say understands kind of legal maneuvering. And goes beyond just conventional wisdom, wrote an article about a trial that's about to begin in Santa Monica in front of Judge Carlin, who's a DA I actually have tried jury trials against and is now a judge. And it's the Bill Cosby trial. So mm-hmm. one of the last remaining Bill Cosby trials, supposedly going to be tried by Gloria Allred. Gloria is 80 years old.
She's
Bill
not,
is in 80.
She's but, going inside of a courtroom?
Well, that's kind of what Eric Gardner's article was about. But Eric had a twist on it that I hadn't even thought of. But
is this the Playboy Mansion
Playboy
situation?
Mansion minor, gave her alcohol.
Said she was 16, then she corrected and went 15, or if she go 15, 14?
I'd have to check.
But either way, then
so
they want
guess
it
what the
out.
Twist yes. is. So Gardner does in this article, which is a like
it's
I said,
very well written.
He is just a great writer, a great and in his niche and outside of it. He did another article that I actually talked to him a little bit about on Julian Assange that also. Was so thoughtful because he kind of understood the way the Supreme Court's leaning and made some insight there as well. But in this case, there is a possibility. He envisioned a world, a hypothetical world, where Bill Cosby calls Gloria Allred as a witness in his trial because he has fashioned Gloria Allred, and I've seen this, where, okay, you're a lawyer, but you're also first and foremost a publicist. Uh-huh. And as a publicist, you step out of your role as a lawyer, and therefore I'm going to find out what you knew, when you knew it, and what you were doing. And so there are some worlds in which just like Kate Moss gets called in rebuttal, where Gloria Allred may end up getting called as a witness in the Bill Cosby trial for things she said or did in order to kind of tar and feather Bill Cosby. Because remember, he's got very little to worry about at this point. U.S. Supreme Court turned down the appeal from the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, so he's not going back to jail. And
this is all civil.
All civil. It's all shuffling other people's money.
And what kind of dollars are they talking about?
Millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars.
Yeah, millions of dollars.
And so first thing is her initial statement, the alleged victim's initial statement is she was 15 and then she was 14, or she was 14 and then she was 15. There was some version of that going around. And then they wanted it thrown out because they were like, if you can't even figure out what year it is, what are we talking about here?
Right. And also, you know, there's some great legal issues on statute of limitations, the expansion of that, whether you revive the cause of action that had been dormant or dead or expired. And all of these things, I think, are going to come into play in various ways. They're going to – normally that's a legal issue, but you can actually transform that or transmogrify that into a jury decision as to whether or not the statute ran or they knew or shouldn't.
Why do statutes of limitations work for civil cases? Because it seems to me that if you don't have limitations on civil cases, then everyone could sue their camp counselor when they were 65 years old for molesting them in a tent – you know, when there were nine, like there's no statute of limitations for these
types
of cases?
There traditionally has been. There was a famous U.S. Supreme Court case that came out of California called Stogner where they said if the statute has expired, you can't then retroactively revive it. because mm-hmm. that would be unfair. And so in California, I believe the statute of limitations was 8 years. Somebody then tried to file a criminal case after 10 years, and they said, no, you can't revive it. But in civil cases, there's been an extension on the basis of the policy debate is over whether or not people were minors, whether they realized or could assert their legal rights when they're a minor. So there was that argument. The legislature in California, as you can imagine, embraced that with a gusto. And mm-hmm. in order to expand the statute of limitations. This case is interesting only because...
Is this 40 years old?
Yeah, isn't it, Gary?
Yeah, at least. Yeah.
Was she 14 or 15 or 15 or 16? I can't figure it out.
I'm still looking into that.
And
so you know about this one?
I heard about it. Okay. Yeah, and look, say what you will about Gloria Allred, but she was really the impetus, the muse, the siren song of the crystal brain was brought on by her, because when she was explaining that she was representing the audience in the Laugh Factory from Michael Richards' N-bomb laced tirade from all those years
ago. How many years ago was that, by the way?
I was doing radio, morning radio, and so
97.1?
Yeah, and that could have been 07, it could have been 08, somewhere, could have been at the beginning. Yeah, 07, 08. Oh, could have been 09. Nah, I'd say, I was a guest, 06. I would say. 06. Oh, that was at the beginning.
The Richards controversy, at least, is how I found that.
Well, then maybe she got on with me. Could have been in 07. It depends. Anyway, she was
November 06, I'm hearing.
Yeah, so she probably got on with me in 07, but she was explaining that she didn't know. We didn't know if this was going to help his career or hurt his career. And I was famously explaining
16 years ago.
I did know that. And she said, you don't know that. And I said, yes, I do. And then she said, nobody knows because it's unknowable. This could help. And then I said, if you asked his agents, his publicist, and his manager whether they were happy this happened or not, you know the answer they'd give? And then she said, we're not getting into hypotheticals. I said, well, it's not a hypothetical to them.
Right.
If they had a magic wand.
It's 5 and 10%.
And could make it all go away, 10 and 15, yeah. Depending.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Managers,
is that what you're paying?
Managers were 15%. Wow. Back in the day, and then 10 to the agents, that's 25 right out the door.
I'm saying wow as I charge 40 to 50. Yeah, right. Right.
All I've been able to find on the age thing is that after Cosby rebutted her claims initially, she changed her information to make her 16.
Okay, so that's what happened. So she kept telling me, I don't know. And then at some point she explained I didn't have a crystal ball. And then I explained I have a crystal brain and this is going to hurt his career. Now, I don't know if the jury's still out, but it's been 15 years plus, and he's not seen him on any sitcoms lately. Now, oh, and by the way, sidebar, I passed Big Boy with the Garrigus and Garrigus insignia ablazoned on the tail stab.
When?
This morning.
No kidding. I'm out of here. Yeah. I headed straight there.
I was heading to Howie Mandel's place.
Really?
In Van Nuys.
Where are you right going this
airport.
Weekend?
I'm going, where the hell am I going? I'm going to like wine country or something.
Oh, okay.
The thing that's funny, first off, Howie Mandel, just sidebar.
Right.
Howie Mandel's the only person ever listened to me when I told him buy a warehouse.
Right.
You'll use it, and you'll make money off it. And every one of my other celebrity friends told me to fuck off. And it was stupid. They should have bought a warehouse. They would have used it, and they would have made some money off it. Howie bought one warehouse a decade ago. Now he's got 30,000 square feet. It's right off. He's got it all fixed up. It's funny. It becomes a repository for unused sectional sofas. He started laughing his ass off. When you have a warehouse, somehow you'll have 18 sectional sofas that just arrive because all the ones that are too good to throw away, but we got a new one at the house or the sister-in-law, blah, blah, they all just end up all over the place. But I did pass Big Boy, and I don't know where you're going after this.
There's going to be – would this drop today?
Yes, it will.
Okay. There will be news tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'll say. There will be news tomorrow. There'll be, in my humble opinion, there will be big news tomorrow.
Can you tell us what state you're going to?
Let's just say that I'm heading east. I'm not going very far east, and it will be sports related.
Wow.
Yeah, that's all I'm going to say.
I cannot wait. Well, it's there. It's
waiting for me. I got to get out of here. In fact, that's why I've got my heart out here in a couple of minutes.
Waiting for you. And I was happy to see it as I drove past it this morning. All right, let me tell you about Cuts, a premium T-shirt alternative, perfect for any occasion. Personally, I love these guys. I mean, I have Cuts. They have wonderful, wonderful apparel. Wonderful apparel. Especially if you're active. Tons of great colors and styles. Crew necks, Henleys, long sleeves, something for just about everyone. GQ called them the only shirt worth wearing. You can refresh your wardrobe and do it in time for summer. And look smart, stay cool, especially if you're active. With Cuts, right, Gary?
That's absolutely right. See for yourself why Cuts is one of the fastest growing men's brands with over a million shirts sold. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/doubt. That's cutsclothing.com/doubt. Cuts. It's a great t-shirt. cutsclothing.com/doubt.
All right. So maybe Gary and I will talk a little about this Durham trial, which I'm interested in. And I'm interested in it for
today. I thought
one reason.
I didn't want to interrupt earlier, but when you were describing, you know, wanting to know about the FBI, a lot of that stuff was happening today. A lot of the FBI agents were being directly questioned because what happened was a document was authored after Sussman came into the chief counsel of the FBI and gave them these white papers and thumb drives that supposedly had this information. Then another agent created a document that said that those came from the Department of Justice. And when he was asked about that, and that memo was disseminated to the larger team. So the larger team got these documents with a piece of paper that said this came from the DOJ, when in reality it came from the chief counsel of the FBI. And when they were directly questioned about that, they called it a mistake in their paperwork, which is like the weakest answer in the world.
Yes. And to be fair, Mark was supposed to hang out for another 8 minutes, but I brought up his private jet and it seemed to remind him that it was time for him to be on that private jet.
Correct.
So he's bid us adieu. But Gary and I can carry on here, which is this. Here's my problem. I have multiple problems with this case, not with the case, but with the digestion of this case as a society. So Hillary Clinton is running against Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton's campaign pays for and creates the Steele dossier and other bits of evidence to then pass along to the FBI, and the FBI then authenticates it somehow, even though it's never existed, but they essentially investigate it.
They investigate it and ultimately do not authenticate it. But
oh, right. But there's
a time period where they're putting a lot of resources into it.
Then they leak to the news outlets that, the FBI is looking into this Russian collusion and Steele dossier. And let's not forget, in Trump Tower, there's a computer server that's connected directly to the Kremlin. And all these stories just start breaking everywhere. Okay, most or all of it is untrue. It was completely fabricated, not only from the Hillary Clinton campaign, but from the FBI and then whoever, CNN and USA Today and whatever, New York Times, whatever. Then we launched down a three-year path of investigating Trump over Russian collusion. And then we get nothing. But in the meantime, the New York Times is getting Pulitzer Prizes for their coverage of a story that didn't exist. It's a story that was fabricated, and I guess it's possible to do an amazing job covering a story that didn't exist. But I don't know that you should be getting Pulitzer Prizes for covering a story that was invented by Mueller and didn't exist. And then when it was all done and we'd wasted tens of billions of dollars of taxpayers' money and threw the nation into a tailspin and distracted the fuck out of everyone for 3 years, when it was all done, we said, well, all right, our work is done here. There's nothing to see. Turn the page, moving forward. Then, well, as it turns out, and you can watch, you know, countless hours of Hillary Clinton going on news programs and speaking in front of crowds, talking about Trump and Russian collusion and the Steele dossier and the server and Trump Tower. It turns out it all emanated from her camp. She started it. And then as a society, because the New York Times has egg on their face, and because CNN doesn't want to get into it, because they were all wrong, they're doing the same shit they did with COVID, and LA Times and USA Today, they're all like, turn the page. So you have one party, Hillary Clinton, claiming the other party was doing something that, in fact, they were doing, and we wasted 3 years of our nation's time investigating it, and now we're supposed to just keep on moving. Now, Hillary Clinton, as I stated earlier, is doing what Hillary Clinton does. But let's not get it twisted. She's doing what she said Donald Trump essentially was doing. That's what she's doing. I'm more interested in the FBI, and I'm more interested in the New York Times, the LA Times, and USA Today, and CNN. How did you guys get it so wrong? Where's the journalistic integrity? How do you vet things, FBI? How did you get this so wrong for so long? And color me suspicious when everyone in your organization hated the other opposition party. So you guys all hated Donald Trump, but that didn't affect the way you carried out your job, even though this stuff is patently obvious that none of it was true. I mean, it kind of reminds me of the 51 experts all saying that the Hunter Biden laptop was suspicious. Really?
It's funny that it is that number 51, because there was a quote that Mark really liked from this trial where one of the FBI agents, after reviewing the materials, sent an email saying that whoever had produced these documents was probably under a 5150, meaning mentally right. Unbalanced.
Right.
So, you know, they knew pretty quick that these documents were not to yes. be trusted.
All right. So
within weeks.
You want to live in a society, you want to live in a nation where one politician can concoct a story and a dossier about another politician and then go to the FBI with it. And because the FBI is hoping she wins or is rooting her on, will do all her dirty work for her and deceive the nation. And then all the legacy news outlets can pick up that story and run with it as if it was something for 3 years. And the New York Times can win Pulitzer Prizes on it. And then when nothing comes of it, we just move on. We don't hold the person that created this whole mess accountable. But, you know, what it's exactly like, Gary? It's exactly like Wuhan and the virus and where it emanated from. If it came from the lab, are you guys not interested whatsoever in the countless deaths and destruction that caused the world? The New York Times has no interest in whether that virus leaked from a lab or came from a pangolin. They have no interest. That's curious to me. That's suspicious to me. And you sent us on a 3-year witch hunt that you guys reported on every day. You would not like to know the truth behind that actual story? You don't seem interested. I find that suspicious. Wouldn't you want to get to the origins of this? So we don't know how this is going to turn out. And obviously Durham has his work cut out for him because it's a very heavily 9% Democratic district he's getting his jury pool from. But do you guys want to live in a society where this goes on, especially the FBI? I get Trump. I get Hillary Clinton. They're doing what they do. I get Fox. I get CNN. They're doing what they do. You want the FBI to roll that way too? That seems like a weird society to live in, depending on, as Mark always says, whose ox is being gored. And, you know, they do this stuff all the time where they go, CNN, you know, they got their agenda, and Fox, they got their agenda. And I'm always like, that is 100% true. It was 3 years of Adam Schiff showing up on CNN explaining that there was a new document that was going to drop that was going to blow the lid off the whole Russian collusion story. It was 3 years of CNN getting it 100% wrong. 3 years. Okay. So, yeah, there's CNN over here and there's Fox over here. And CNN had their approach to COVID and CNN had their approach to Russian collusion. And Fox had their approach. But it's not just CNN and Fox. You got to check the batting average. Who was actually had a higher batting average as it pertained to Russian collusion and or COVID and protocols? That's my challenge to you. All right. I will hit Geico right here. Love to save some money on insurance. Well, of course you would. Who doesn't love a deal when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything? Geico can help insure. Well, they'll do your car, their truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners and condo insurance, renters coverage as well. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and you can switch to Geico. Well, that becomes a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save. Simply go to geico.com, get a quote from your local agent. All right, going to be in Denver at the Comedy Works South. That's coming up the 24th, 25th of June. Sonny will be with me working the merch table, so come say hi. Just go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows, and you can check out my new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. That's out July 19th. Pre-order it now. Hit the banner at adamcarolla.com. That just helps. And until next time, Adam Carolla for Mark Garagos and Gary Smith saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Carolla Digital.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything? Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote, or contact a local agent.
On September 3rd, 1990, Betty Jones and Catherine Krigler were raped and murdered in an unsolved case known as the Labor Day Murders.
You sure you really want to hear?
I do.
This is as bad as it gets.
There was so much blood that it soaked through the carpet.
I never understood how scary it was, that sense of being trapped.
Now more than ever, I want to help solve the murder of my beloved grandmother, Mama Betty. Listen to Knock Knock now on Podcast One or wherever you listen to podcasts.